Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Everybody, this is Carrie with Unicorn Company. Today, this is the last of the mid-season or the break episodes. Mainly, it's a mech tech. There are a few little things I want to talk about, though. And before I really get into anything, I might be a little weird because I am on some painkillers and muscle relaxers and some stuff to help me with some pain, obviously. And I guess maybe I should share why. So some of you may know, some of you may not, I'm polyamorous. And my girlfriend, who is awesome as hell, by the way, she is moving. And she had some guinea fowl and some ducks who couldn't go with her to her new place. They can't go with her. So I went ahead and offered to have them move in with me. Well, move in is the wrong word, but live on the property that I'm on, since I have tons of room and they can frolic about and do guinea fowl and duck things all they want. So I just, I figured I can help with that. And I like animals, and she has these. They're kind of cool. If none of you have ever seen a guinea fowl, and I know I'm way off from BattleTech right now, and this is personal life stuff, but guinea fowl are pretty awesome. If any of you are familiar with the Skeksis from the Dark Crystal, they look a lot like them. The Skeksis, which were the main bad guy in the movie, which, anyway, if some of you, I have a feeling a lot of you don't even know what that is. But then again, this is nerddom and, in nerddom, people probably know what the Dark Crystal is, much like Labyrinth and some other things that almost are like required reading. But they look a lot like the Skeksis, and they make the loudest noises, and they're actually pretty cute. And so they are at my house now, but when I went to move them, like an idiot, I decided to carry the cage by myself that they were in. And in doing so, I guess you could say I had a foot actuator give out, which caused a leg actuator to give out, which caused the hip actuator to give out. And I took 46 damage to the face, mainly to my left side. So I have the impressive feat of right now having a sprained left shoulder, left elbow, left knee, and left ankle. If I'm going to go big on fall, if I'm going to fall, I'm going to go big, and I'm just going to hurt everything on one side. But everything's worked out. The guineas are at my house. Unfortunately, I couldn't really help after I took the fall, but she is almost done moving and things are awesome, so there's that. And so I want to go ahead and we're going to talk about a few things. First, I want to let everyone who worked on the Trevor Project raffle know that the thing I've been waiting on is finally here, and all of you will be receiving some packages shortly. If you have not gotten me your address, please send it to me. You know how to contact me through the Discord or through my the Trevor Project email. You can use that as well. But I wanted to thank all of you. You did an amazing job, and it's just phenomenal and awesome. And we have to figure out what we're doing next year. Also, I wanted to thank Sarah. She made all of this possible, and she, incredible partner as well. Made everything possible with the patches, and I wasn't going to say that, but yeah. So they're unit patches for the Trevor Project raffle. But yeah, Sarah made those possible, and I really appreciate it. So getting into BattleTech stuff, like actual BattleTech stuff, now that I've ranted for about 5 minutes about my personal life and about the patches. So first, one of my friends over on Discord helped me out with some images of the Alpha Strike buildings and also did a test for me. He was able to take a picture of one of the larger buildings with four metal miniatures on it, which is awesome as it does show me how sturdy the buildings are. Also, I've been perusing the Ironwood Metal site, and I have to say, while they aren't keeping pace with the new force packs, they do have quite a few of the new minis in metal with variants. I encourage everyone to take a look. In fact, I believe the, what's the name of that thing? Oh, the new Avalon Catholic Church Pope drives one. I can't remember what it's called now. Y'all know what I'm thinking of. I am too loopy right now to remember, and I want to say it starts with Regent, the Regent. I've seen some in the wild, so awesome, right? And last thing I want to mention is that MythKitty Minis is releasing the Sigma Squad unit pack. It includes four mechs, the Buzzard 3, Night Saber, Blackbird, and Mountain Lion, as well as releasing the Night Saber mech. And now that I have all of... Oh, and you can get those at mythkittyminis.bigcartel.com. And there's going to be some other squad, some other unit packs to follow in the future. So now that I've gotten all that out there, let's talk about what I really intended to talk about today. The last of what could be considered the Jenner family of mechs, the Owens. Aside from the fact that both of these mechs have the names of famous American 20th century runners, what do they have in common? Well, the Owens is based on the Jenner design and looks somewhat like a Jenner. It looks like somebody took a Jenner and ran it through like an old mid-90s graphics card. Or basically tried to make it work in MechWarrior 2. So, let's go into it here. After the success of the DCMS had with its first proof of concept Omnimech, the Raptor, which, by the way, seems to be a popular name for experimental mechs, they decided they needed an Omni-Jenner. This mech would use the Omni technology to allow it to quickly swap out its weapons payloads for different missions. One of its main missions, though, regardless of configuration, is a scout. It is permanently mounted with a C3 slave, a Beagle active probe, and target acquisition gear, or TAG for short. This does make me want to discuss one thing about the Owens and most Omni-mechs with hard-mounted equipment, but we'll kind of get into that later. So the Owens is a 35-ton machine, has a Vox 280 extra light engine, gives it a top speed of about 130 kilometers an hour. It carries 10 single heat sinks and is protected by 7 tons of armor, giving it good protection for its size, but also showing one of the biggest deficiencies of the Draconis Combine in that era, and it was their lack of double heat sinks, a problem which would plague many of their mechs during the Clan invasion, but luckily not all of them. In its primary configuration, the mech adds to its impressive electronics warfare package a single medium laser in its head, two small lasers in its center torso, and oddly a pair of LRM-5 launchers, one in each arm, which share a single ton of ammunition. The LRM launcher seemed like an odd decision in this case, with the mech in its primary configuration, as you would think they would want it to be something that can close to as short of a range as possible to assist members of the C3 network, though it would probably make a good long-range support unit and a light lance, and the battle value of the primary configuration is 839. Excuse me. The Alpha configuration of the Owens, on the other hand, is built for close-range spotting, and in my opinion, would have been a more fitting primary. The mech is armed with a pair of arm-mounted Streak SRM-2 launchers. In its center torso, it has two machine guns and a small pulse laser mounted in its head. While the mech is better suited for close combat, the machine guns obviously find limited use against the intended opponent of a machine built in this era, the Clans. The battle value of the A is 680. Bravo configuration of the Owens takes it even closer to its Jenner roots. The mech is armed with a single SRM launcher, enhanced with an Artemis IV fire control system in its right arm, which is kind of weird. You would expect it to be in the torso, but anyway. As secondary weapons, it carries four small lasers, three in its left arm and one in its head. This configuration comes in at a battle value of 752. In its Charlie configuration, the Owens is built for long-term scouting and operations with limited supplies. It's armed with a large laser in its left arm and a pair of medium lasers in the right arm. Its lack of double heat sinks, though, does hurt it if the pilot decides that smashing the controls is the way to go. Otherwise, it's a good configuration in a campaign setting. The battle value of the Charlie configuration is 964. The Owens Delta is, well, it's mainly a spotter again, this time enhanced with a NARC launcher. The mech is a single offensive weapon, an SRM-4 in its right arm, and technically you could give the NARC launcher explosive pods. Otherwise, it's almost an OST scout. The Delta configuration comes in at 655 battle value. The Echo setup for this machine came along with the development of the medium-range missile system. Looking for anything that they could slap that onto, it carries an MRM-10 in its right arm and a medium laser and medium pulse laser in its left, which actually makes it a pretty decent mid-to-short-range light mech. The battle value of the Echo is 833. So we're getting into the home stretch here with the Foxtrot configuration. This loadout is all energy and attempts to enhance the design with more electronics, this time a targeting computer. The targeting computer is linked to a center torso-mounted light PPC and an ER small laser in each arm as well. On top of that, in an attempt to dissuade infantry from getting up close and personal, the mech has a single anti-infantry pod in its left leg. This configuration comes in at 933. So next we have the Gulf. And with the Gulf, we are really getting into the specialized weeds here. The mech carries no real weapons except for a TSEMP system made to attempt to shut down enemy mechs. I wish I had more to say about this one, but I don't. It is, for all intents and purposes, a scout that can possibly disable an enemy mech. Oddly enough, it has one of the highest battle values of all the configurations at 1761. The final configuration is the Romeo. This configuration uses clan technology to enhance its abilities. It mounts an MRM-10 launcher in the right torso and carries three clan-spec ER medium lasers, one in each arm and one in the head, to give it a decent punch. This, I believe, is probably the most potent of any of the configurations and clocks in at 1215 battle value. Less than the weird Gulf config, which has no guns on it. So in Battletech, this thing is a scout through and through. It just has different abilities attached to that scoutness or scout capability or whatever you want to call it, that role. Give me a sec. In Alpha Strike, it's still a scout, but it has it has slight teeth to it. I don't want to say it has a ton of teeth. It has a little bit of teeth. So let's go ahead and look at the baseline of this machine, and we'll go from there. So this is what every variant of the Owens will have, and if there are any changes, I'll let you know. So the mech is type battle mech, size 1, target movement modifier of 3, movement of 16, armor of 4, and structure of 2, which is very good for a light mech. And every variant will have specials of C3 Slave, Mech Headquarter 1, Omni, Probe, Recon, and Tag. This is a specialized Omni mech, and I kind of hate that. Get to that, though. Still, yeah. So this might be a little bit more than just about the Owens. So the primary configuration of the mech comes in at 38 points, and it is a missile, though. The mech has short and medium values of 2 with a long of 1 and no overheat. It also has the additional special ability of indirect fire 1. For a light lance, it's a decent support mech, which, ironically enough, would benefit from other C3 units, making it able to hit with that 1 damage at long range easier. Bravo configuration is an extremely short range unit in Alpha Strike. The mech is once again a scout, comes in at 33 points. It can do 3 damage at short and 1 at medium. Once again, no long or overheat values. Shoot, where was I? Yeah, like I said, I'm a little out there. It also has no additional special abilities over the base configuration. So if you want something that can stab in the back really well, this is it. But it's not going to get there very easily because of its speed. Charlie is an interesting configuration. It's classified as a striker, and with a short and medium of 2, no long or overheat. It doesn't pack a huge punch, but it is a bit more survivable than most configurations, as it does have the energy special ability, reflecting its loadout in classic Battletech, and has a point value of 36 points. Then we go back once again to the scout role with the D configuration. It has a short and medium of 1, no long or overheat capabilities, and adds the SNARC ability to its massive toolbox, making it a good unit to pair with LRM and SRM heavy units. I don't know if there's a C3 LRM carrier, but this would be really good with it. It is also one of the lowest cost configurations at 32 points. The Echo is almost an identical clone of the Charlie. This model, while having the same damage profile and also a striker, does not have the ENE ability. And it comes in at the same price. Less related to the mech, but more towards the costing system, this makes me think that on mechs with just 2 structure, the energy ability is negligible. So if you want to run 2 C variants, just one more explodey than the other, this and the Charlie are the 2 you want. Now, in the Foxtrot configuration, the Owens is once again an energy boat, and this time packs a slightly stronger punch than the Charlie config. It is classified as a striker and comes in at 39 points. It has a short and medium of 2 and a long of 1 with no overheat. It once again gains the energy special, so once again it's more survivable than most of the configurations on this list. The Golf configuration is a little bit of an odd bird. The mech has no damage values associated with it, and has a point value of 34 points. This is mainly due to all the equipment that it carries, which now includes the special of T-Semp-1, making it something which can range from annoyance to terrifying on the battlefield in Alpha Strike, as it can do anything from just mess with your target numbers to outright shut you down. Finally, we have the Romeo. Now, this configuration once again hits about as hard as any of this mech's configs can, with 2 at short and medium, has no long range, but it does have an overheat of 1. It is classified as a striker and comes in at 37 points, and doesn't have any additional special abilities over the base setup. Alright, so this mech pretty much is a decent scout for when it was built. I do want to talk about how this mech is an example of too much hard-manned equipment, though. I mean, sure, if it's all you have, you aren't going to turn it down, but mounting so much gear on it permanently limits the design space that you have with the mech, regardless of whether you're looking at it in Classic or in Alpha Strike. I mean, hopefully someone at Catalyst comes along and decides we need an Owens 2, which would make better use of the chassis with a couple of upgrades. I mean, the Diamond Sharks seem to be into redoing old Inner Sphere Omnis, so maybe this time it could be named after a famous runner from the 21st century. One of the things, so before I'm going into stuff about next season, I do want to touch on this whole thing with the hard-mounted equipment. So I know they were doing it to show that the Inner Sphere did not really know what the hell they were doing with designing Omni-Mechs, but this is just really bad. I mean, like, horribly bad. And there are a few designs that could totally totally do with either a Mark II version or just having not had hard-mounted equipment. Mainly the Owens and, oddly enough, the Black Hawk KU. Which the Black Hawk KU, I'm sure everybody knows it. It's a medium range, short to medium range powerhouse. Basically, it's a Clan Nova bumped up by a few tons and using Innersphere equipment. But much like the Nova itself, all of its jump jets are hard mount. So you can't swap those out for improved jump jets. Just like here with the Owens, you would have way more hitting power, or at least the capability to have way more hitting power if it was just like a hard-mounted C3 Slave instead of all this other ancillary equipment that is very niche when it comes to the game, and is mostly useful in scenarios. And yes, I get that. I get that we are looking at, well, they have to have design flaws, and this is a new technology to the Inner Sphere, so forth, and so on. But it bites, it's rough when you look at it and you're like, if only I didn't have to carry all this extra stuff. Because yeah, they could have made some really awesome, they could have made something that made, that gave the Jenner 2C a run for its money, and instead they built a thing that gives nothing a run for its money except maybe an Austin Scout. Even then, I don't think so. So, I mean, that pretty much covers what we were going to talk about here with the Owens. Next time you all will hear from me is on the opening episode of season 3. I'm not sure if there's going to be anything overarching for that season, like this past season where I had the whole thing with the different eras. Maybe it'll be in the mech techs. I do know that quite a few of them are going to be arachnid-based, because somebody's trying to help me get over my fear of spiders. So I figured, why not talk about spiders and all the different versions of spiders that are in BattleTech? So season 3, episode 1, we'll start off talking about the Star League Defense Forces Special Operations Machine, the Spider. I do thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to support the podcast, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/unicorncompany. Or if you'd like to get something more for your support, go to our sponsor, Miffed Kitty Minis, and pick up some of the awesome miniatures that they have for your table. Until next time, this is Carrie signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change, I wanna play.